You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Join now on the flagship podcast by the one and only Brian Jones. I mean, BJ, it's so great to see you. We did not call each other, by the way, about our pink shirts for those of us watching on the Horns 24/7 YouTube channel. But Brian Jones, former Longhorn, former NFL linebacker, now college football analyst extraordinaire with CBS. BJ, how you doing?
I'm great, man. A little tired. I was in Dallas for a few days for a big old wedding. Just flew back home and got your text as I was landing. And said, heck yeah, I'll jump on with Mr. Chip Brown, the world famous Chip Brown.
Talk a little Longhorns. Talk about your old team.
That's all I did in Dallas, man, at this wedding. Everybody, there were a lot of big Longhorn fan. Let's say the majority of the folks. So I guess I'm well oiled for our conversation.
Right. You know what? Just go ahead and relay everything that you said to them. No.
Some of it I can't.
Okay. Some of it you can't. Okay. That's the stuff we really want to hear, BJ.
You know, I'm gonna keep it real, man.
All right. So let's get into it. You've had a chance to kind of digest a little bit from the spring and what you've heard out of fall camp so far. Give me your thoughts on Steve Sarkisian as the head coach. What you like, what concerns you?
Not many concerns, if any. I like the choice from the onset and or outset, I should say. He was my choice. I wanted someone that could come in, had the experience, head coaching experience, but could sit for a spell. And the other guy who's now, you know, up the highway for me in Jacksonville, a ways up the highway, I should say, since I'm in South Florida. I know he was number one on the radar early, and I wasn't necessarily on that train. I thought Sark would be a great pick, and for a couple of reasons. One, he's been a head coach. Two, he's been on championship teams, and I'm hoping some of that gravy from his days with Pete Carroll and, of course, with Nick Saban, some of that gravy has spilled over to his plate. And now having a second bite at the apple, if you will, after all his trials and travails, that journey, I think, can help that locker room. And he comes from the standard bearer there at Alabama, and he's going to know how to develop these guys. And if you go back, and I did some research recently, Chip, and you look at the recruiting, and everyone's is saying, and I think it's a false narrative, that Texas is making this jump to the SEC because of recruiting. No, it's about dollars and cents. Okay, let's get that straight. And recruiting has nothing to do with it, because you go back and you look over the last decade, Texas has out-recruited the ruler of the Big 12, which is Oklahoma. Texas is their average recruiting ranking has been somewhere like 10.5. Oklahoma is 12.7. The highest ranking for an OU class the last decade was 6. The highest class for Texas has been 3, and that was on 2 occasions. So what that tells you is that Texas just hasn't developed these players. They have not developed them. That cupboard has not been empty. And I'm hoping Sark can come in there and develop these guys. I think he's the right choice. I believe he can get the job done. And lastly, I'll say this, being there for spring, I made a point at that spring game to talk to many folks. And I get along with the janitors just as well as I can get along with the AD. And I made a point to talk to some people who are low on the totem pole, if you will, and Chris Del Conte. And to a man or to a woman, they all said the same thing. There's a sense of urgency. There's more accountability. And he's brought more discipline. And those are the things that are missing. You know as well as I do, Texas has been one of the most penalized team in the nation over the last few years. So they need that discipline. They need that accountability. And I think Coach Sark's bringing that.
Okay, real quick, talking to Brian Jones, of course, CBS college football analyst. Okay, why were you not on board with the Urban Meyer train?
Because what happened in Florida, and then you had the controversy there that sacked him at Ohio State. We've gone through enough in Texas. Yeah. We need to get someone in here. And I'm very mindful of everything that Sark has had to navigate. The reason he was let go at USC, I get that. So I am hoping, though, what he's had to deal with personally can help in that locker room once again. That journey, that story, and overcoming obstacles will assist him with being forthcoming and truthful with those guys. Listen, you players, you probably know what I've been through. And I'm sure as soon as you heard I was getting the job, there was a flood of information that came out as far as my background and my missteps, if you will. So I have nothing to hide. And I'll share this. I interviewed Hugh Freeze a year ago on our CBS show, Inside College Football, CBS Sports Network show. And I asked him, your missteps, your failures, how have you leveraged that in that locker room? And he said, I leverage it every damn day. I can't sugarcoat it. I screwed up royally, and I've had a grand opportunity to get back on the sideline and do something that I love, and that's coach football. And I leveraged that, and I'm hoping off the strength of that conversation I had with Hugh Freeze, Sark can do the same.
So Steve Sarkisian comes in to Texas, and he's got to find a quarterback to replace Sam Ellinger. He's got a redshirt freshman in Hudson Card. He's got a redshirt junior in Casey Thompson. BJ, you've been in locker rooms at Texas, UCLA, the NFL. Quarterback is the most important position. The locker room always seems to know who the guy is. How slippery or you know, fraught with peril is this decision for Steve Sarkisian?
Well, he knows that position as well as anyone. And the ones he's developed, I may have been, you know, we know in Texas, we always say it's a sorry dog that won't wag his own tail. Well, I'm going to wag mine because they had basically anointed Bryce Young, the quarterback last year. Much herald, probably will be the guy, well, we know he's going to be the guy heading into this season, but we'll see if he lives up to those lofty expectations. But he was highly heralded coming in. And Mac Jones, I looked at his last three games of the season in 2019. I was like, this guy's fine. He's going to win this job. Bryce Young, go sit. I said that at the beginning of last season. And so for Sark to coach him up, coach Tua up, the ones that came before him, and the ones he had at USC, he along with Lane Kiffin, the guy knows quarterbacks. And just from my vantage point there at the spring game, they're neck and neck. I didn't really see any separation. I saw him getting rid of the rock when they needed to get rid of the rock. Yeah, maybe a misstep here or there or a misfire, but they look damn good. And I was there on the sideline watching this, and I was like, wow, they're getting rid of the rock. Man, it's on point. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I have I'm not concerned whatsoever with him picking the wrong guy. He's going to pick the right guy. Now, that guy, once he gets the reins to the offense, does he perform? Does he produce? Because I don't think there's going to be any hesitation to say, okay, we got to go elsewhere. Nick Saban didn't hesitate in that national championship game versus Georgia, sticking Tua in there when Jalen Hurts was not getting it done. So, you know, having seen that, I think Coach Sark will know the right guy who wins this gig. But from my vantage point, once again, I thought they were neck and neck. Now it's just in the spring game. Now you've got a whole fall camp to shake this thing out.
Well, the best coaching that Sarkisian may be about to do might be getting the guy who doesn't win the job to stick around and stay invested, right? Especially if it's Casey Thompson, the redshirt junior who's been waiting 3 years for this opportunity. If he gets, if it goes to Hudson Card, I mean, Sark's going to have to pull that Matt Castle card and say, hey, that Castle never started a game at USC. We got him drafted. He played 12 years in the NFL, right?
Right. And with the background that Sark has and his track record with quarterbacks, why wouldn't you sit a spell? Why wouldn't you sit around? I know I've been waiting. I didn't win it, but I'm still in the number. And who knows when I get another shot? This is a brutal game. It's a physical game. Mac Jones wasn't expecting to be thrust into action back in 2019, but he was, and he took well advantage of it. So if I'm Sark and whomever doesn't win the job, I'm relaying that scenario to them.
Yeah.
You want me to get Mac Jones on the phone and ask him whether or not he thought he was going to get another shot? I mean, we're 8-9 games into this deal, and now he's the main guy. And what did he do with it? He showed up and showed out outside of a couple of fluke plays versus Auburn in the Iron Bowl. I mean, this guy was damn good, and he proved that again, that it wasn't a fluke last season. He was phenomenal. So, yeah, you're right. He's going to have to get in there and say, just hang with me. Just hang. And I hope kids, and we're seeing this a lot in this transfer portal, and I transferred for a totally different reason from a lot of these guys, because I was playing, as you see that UCLA helmet behind me. I was freshman All-American. I was balling. But my heart was with the Longhorns, and we can, you know, in another session get into the whole reason why I decided to go out west prior to returning to the state of Texas. But you can't be afraid of competition. And here's a guy that has seen top-notch competition at USC, at Washington, definitely at Alabama, and Coach Sarkisian. So why wouldn't you trust his football IQ? Why wouldn't you lean on his wealth of knowledge in this space and say, okay, I know I'm anxious in this immediacy world we now live in. I want it now. I get that. But I'm going to sit here and listen and learn from this guy.
I'm talking to Brian Jones, CBS college football analyst extraordinaire. Okay, before we move on to your side of the ball on defense, what excites you about the Texas offense and what concerns you?
I want to see who's going to emerge at wide receiver. I believe the Moore kid is coming back, right?
Yep.
And he looked damn good.
Yep.
So who else steps up? You know, if you look at the Sarkisian offenses, everyone's involved. I love that. If tight end, the running backs, the wide receivers, and he feeds all those mouths. Look at Alabama. And you usually hear all this chirping, oh, I'm not getting enough balls here and there from wide receivers. No one chirps. You're going to get your opportunity. You're going to get it. I mean, we're talking about John Metchie III now heading into the season being the main target at Alabama. And he had others out there like a Heisman Trophy winning Devontae Smith, you know, to throw him off the scent. But yet he still got his. I mean, these guys were over there doing rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to run this route because they knew where the ball was going. That's the type of camaraderie, and that's the type of team. That's the type of team you need. Well, I don't give a damn who's going to get the glory. I'm just going to make sure I do my part. And so when you have guys who buy in and not worried about their stats, that's when you know you're cooking with gas. So the only concern, you know, maybe offensive line, you know, see how Coach Flood can turn those guys around. There's talent there once again, Chip. The talent's there. Yeah. And now they're going to get a new kick in the behind. And I know they're going to be bigger. They're going to be stronger. Because I'm on the sideline with these Alabama dudes. And I'm just like, wow, I'm glad I'm retired. I mean, because these guys are gigantic, man. and they come in, and these are, you know, second year guys that are just, man, Mountain Dean, as my old special team coach Bobby April would say. They're huge. So I know they're going to be coached right in that facility as far as the weight room and in those meeting rooms. So the concern, who emerges? And I'm sure someone's going to emerge, because this offense, you got to love this offense if you've seen what it's been able to accomplish here in the last 6-7 years, even, you know, when Kiffin was there, because he's the one that fostered this new mindset offensively at Alabama. It wasn't Sark. It was Kiffin. And I hear all these people saying, well, give Nick Saban credit for being malleable, if you will. No. Remember when Kiffin, no one thought that would work, Kiffin and Saban.
Right.
And Kiffin was that man. He had Kenyon Drake and he had others, and he started spreading these guys out and utilizing them in the same manner they did at USC with Reggie Bush and, you know, Lindell White. And look at us now. Sark just took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, that Alabama offensive line, by the way, averaged 6'5", 329 per man last year.
You should see them in person. Maybe you have, dude. I'm like, whoa.
Man.
I don't know how the hell I played linebacker against those guys.
All right. We're talking to Brian Jones, CBS College Football Sports Analyst. And let's take a quick break here on the flagship podcast. We'll be right back with Brian Jones.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Brian, let's get to the defensive side of the ball. I thought, you know, offensive-minded head coaches are going to be made or broken by their defensive coordinator, and vice versa. Offensive-minded coach is going to be, or defensive-minded head coach is going to be made or broken by their OC. I loved the hire of Pete Kwiatkowski and Jeff Choate as co-defensive coordinator, but you're the man. You played the game. Give me your thoughts.
Kwiatkowski, I know a little bit more about than Choate, and I agree with you. You're watching him at Boise, and then he goes to he went to Tennessee, and then of course, you know, plucking him now from Washington, love it. I think he's going to bring a spirited defense to the table, and there's some pieces on that side. I'm a little questionable. You asked me about concerns. Concerns for me are linebacker. Didn't have great linebacker play last year, and the young man who transferred to Tennessee,
Juwan Mitchell.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him in the Big Bad SEC. Okay, you think you could cut the mustard in the Big 12, and you think you're gonna help cut the mustard versus Georgia the way they run downhill, and Alabama the way they run down? Okay, you get ready, young man. All right, now Overshawn, this guy, he has a lot of ability. He has that sideline to sideline ability, so I like his length, and I like the playmaking skills that he has showcased, but still some room to grow there for sure. But I'm looking to see who's going to step up, you know, in this linebacker room. Who's going to be that physical presence? Who's going to be able to take on the tacklers? I watched every film, man, last year, game film, and I just didn't see him being physical at the point of attack. I saw a lot of guys taking bad angles, guys utilizing their athletic ability, something I suffered from until, you know, Coach Fuller said, all right, you guys suck at tackling. We're going to tackle. Hell with individual period and going through the bags and things like that, we're gonna tackle. And if you ask any football player, especially when you get into the season, you don't want to tackle except for on Saturday. And so when you have to do it during the week, man, you know it's going to be a long week. So we had to do it, but it made me a better football player. So I'm looking to see who emerges, who becomes a better tackler as far as that's concerned. I like these young guys up front. Coburn, now, what year is it? He may not be as young as some other. Yeah, he's a senior, but he's a big boy. He flashed. The college kid, he flashed on that D-line. So I love that. So I think we got some bodies up front that can really – you know, move the pile, and they play with a lot of energy. I love to see that. And that secondary, you know, the Jameson kid, oh, he flies around. And there's some other pieces back there you can hang your hat on. So I think Texas, they find those backers. Someone steps up there. They can be damn good. I don't have a lot of concerns, especially until I see them in the big first ball game, and it is a damn big one. Louisiana is no joke. Ask Iowa State. You ask teams they play in the Sun Belt, they're no joke. This team is fierce. Levi Lewis, the quarterback, now he ain't going to be 5'11 on a good day. They say he's 5'11, but he can scoot and he can extend plays. So get ready to run around, but you better be physical because they put a few offensive linemen in the NFL. I think there's one down here in Miami, if I'm not mistaken, off of that Raging Cajun team. So they're going to come, and they know this is a huge, huge moment for them, just like knocking off Iowa State, who went on to beat Oklahoma and then, of course, played them again in the Big 12 championship game. So they know this could be even a bigger get if they can knock off Texas. So we'll see who emerges in that first game. It's going to be a great first test for this defense.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the road trip to Arkansas, I said, if Texas is 2-0, Longhorn fans should be ecstatic because they'd have real momentum.
Listen, Brian, let me ask with Sam Pittman, what he's building there, you know, they're going to hit you in the mouth. They will hit you in the mouth. Get ready. And I'll say this and then I'll shut up. There's a young safety there. Well, Grant Morgan at linebacker, he's damn good. And then there's a safety, Jalen Catalan. Oh, he's the next coming of Steve Atwater. So you run, receivers, you running back, you get on that second level, look for number one, but that's after Louisiana. We can talk about that game down the line, but first things first.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, that three high safety stuff that they do to keep everything in front of them. Well, let me ask you this, Brian, you mentioned Oklahoma and Iowa State, and how do you see the Big 12 playing out this season? Because, you know, TCU looks good to me too. And Texas has talent if they can pull it all together. What do you see happening in the Big 12 race?
I think it's going to be fierce, man. I'm not going to sit here as stacked as Oklahoma is, and they are. And then they got some damn good, at least one, that Eric Gray, the transfer from Tennessee. He led him in rushing a year ago. He was second 2 years ago. Ty Chandler was first 2 years ago and second this past year. He's transferred to UNC, and they desperately need him with the backs they lost. But I think it's going to be fierce, dude. I'm not necessarily going to sit here and say Oklahoma's going to win this thing. Now, they've gotten better on defense, Benito and Asamoah. I just can't believe that kid squatted did five reps and 500 on the squat. That'll make you you squeeze your sphincter. I mean, come on. That's rough. You got to have an appreciation of how difficult that is. But they're stacked. They're playing better on defense. Offensively, we know what they have with Rattler and the running game. Brooks coming back, partnered with Gray. They're going to be good. But I love what Iowa State has coming back. Yeah. Everybody. I think maybe two guys not coming back on the defensive side of the ball, but you still have Mike Rose, that linebacker position. And the defense is going to be damn good. What's it? Owlsworth, I believe, is in their secondary. Yeah, offensively, I can't say enough good things about Breece Hall. He reminds me of Marcus Allen. Those short area cuts and the burst out of them is just beautiful to watch. That being said, we didn't talk about our badass running back. Bijan Robinson is the truth. I call him biodegradable because he easily breaks down defenders. That dude, he made a move in the spring game, and I was like, yeah, he's elite. Yeah, he's elite. Not many can do it. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, Brandon.
He's so adept at putting that arm on the ground and keeping his balance, man. And he can be physical if he needs to be. But we're talking about Ohio State. Breece Hall is the truth. He's on my Heisman ballot, man. He's got to be top three, top four. And if you haven't seen the young man play, watch him. Just sweet beat. So that Purdy didn't play well in the Big 12 rematch, Big 12 championship game rematch. So if he can take care of those picks, I think Iowa State's going to be in the mix. You mentioned TCU. Yeah. Defensively, they'll get that straight. They own Texas as well. Dugan at quarterback. Somehow that dude just figures it out and gets it done. But I think those are going to be your top four in the mix. It's going to be Oklahoma. It's going to be Iowa State. It will be TCU, and it'll be Texas. And hell, K-State may even poke their head into that, you know, into the conversation. But the Big 12, they've elevated, you know, with Iowa State doing what they're doing. They've really elevated their brand.
I mean, Texas fans, and you know Texas fans, they want to be back in the Big 12 championship game. And I've said, you know, 9-3, 10-3 with a bowl win, and if they are showing week to week improvement, that would be, in my opinion, that would be a successful first year for Steve Sarkisian. What do you think?
Well, you go 8-3 last year and you lost some close games. I mean, a TCU game just, just what's the running back's name? He's now at USC.
Oh yeah. Don't extend the ball on first and goal.
Keontae, was it Ingram?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you had situations such as that. They're not that far off. They're not. And where have we seen that in sports previously? I go back to the Bulls. Doug Collins is coaching them. They're getting to the playoffs, but they keep losing. And then Phil Jackson comes in and gets them over the hump. You got the Lakers back in the day. And who comes in and takes over? It's Phil Jackson. He helps get them over the hump. So this is our third try at this replacing, you know, Mack Brown. And so I think Sark is perfect for getting Texas over the hump. You're not that far off. I take 9-3. Yeah, I take that. Then, you know, you get to the bowl, you're 10-3. I take that. That I don't like 8-3. It's good, but it's not great. And I understand where Texas fans are coming from. We want to be great. Yes. And hopefully we can be great. But it's going to take a minute for you to get the depth, number one, that you need at Texas, because it's going to be a long haul. It's going to be physical. And then when you make that plunge into that SEC, man, that's a totally different animal. Just watching that week in and week out, you can knock them off in a one-off, Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. But week to week, can you bring that same type of funk? Can you bring that set? That's why it's so impressive what Nick Saban's been able to build there. And it starts with that foundation, and that's where Texas is. And, you know, the underpinnings of this program have to be physical toughness, mentally tough, and he's bringing that. There's no way he's not bringing that after what he's witnessed there in Tuscaloosa, what he witnessed at USC. So he knows what to bring, and it's about these guys now buying in, and I believe they are buying in. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be extremely fun to watch. And in Oklahoma, maybe they boat race everyone. I just don't believe they will, but, you know, they're stacked. They got a hell of a football team returning with all those offensive linemen and of course the quarterback, all the guys on the defensive side. And Lincoln Riley knows how to dial up, but that's going to be fun because you Lincoln Riley and Steve Sarkisian, you're not going to outcoach them. I'm sorry. I just don't think you can. I don't, from an offensive standpoint, those guys are two of the smartest. And Lane Kiffin. I mean, when you see Lane Kiffin cheering, he knows he's got his matchup he wants. They have him snap the ball, and he's already cheering because he knows he has them. Yeah.
He's raising his arms on the sideline for
that's
the
ball snap. That's how dialed in these guys are,
well,
man.
BJ, you mentioned talking to Brian Jones, of course, CBS college football analyst extraordinaire. We'll let you go on this, but you mentioned the SEC. You've had a little time to digest. This is going to happen probably sooner rather than later. But what are your thoughts, like your Longhorns, in the SEC?
You are about the 100th person to ask me, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I tell them. I don't care. I just want Texas to win.
Yeah.
They could be in the Boo Boo the Fool Conference. Just win. Oh. And that's all they need to do. Just win. And it's going to be difficult jumping into the deep end of the pool at the SEC. I get it from a brand and monetary standpoint. I get that. But now we got to get this football team right. And that's another reason why Sark is the right choice. Knowing now that they're going to a league that he knows very well. So that helps Texas. Rekindling that rivalry with Texas A&M. I love that. I mean, Arkansas on the books this year. I love that. Those old rivalries. But know this, speaking of Arkansas, because I was at Texas when Arkansas announced that they were leaving the Southwest Conference, and the target grew even larger on their back. And yeah, it's going to grow even larger on Texas's back, on Oklahoma's back, because they are now leaving the conference. And I remember Arkansas coming to town, like, okay, you think you better than that? All right, we're going to show you. And we defeated them the year before there in Vietnam. And now, you know, they were coming to Austin. And so we desperately wanted to put it on them even more so because they were leaving the conference. But it doesn't really move my needle, man. Great. I was there at SEC Media Days, and things changed quickly when that news broke. It was hilarious, man. But Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, he was floating that last day, man. You could tell that some big things had occurred. And, of course, he was privy to them a lot sooner than we were. But I just hope they're ready by the time they get there. A&M is ready, and A&M's going to make some noise this year. They're built for the SEC, and they've got speed to burn all over that team. This team, that A&M team reminds me of the Texas championship team. We'll see what happens at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's the only question mark, really.
That's it. They lost some O-linemen. That's a question. But from a speed standpoint, with Spiller, you know, Nia Smith, these receivers, they get Chapman back, who had the big touchdown grab versus Florida, and that huge upset. From a speed standpoint, man, they are built right. They know the physical aspects of the league. So it's going to be fun watching them go toe-to-toe with Bama and LSU as well. And, of course, Georgia, if they can make it to the SEC championship game. But, you know, once again, it doesn't move my needle, man. Cool. All right, they're going.
Yeah.
Great. I just want them to win.
Okay, I lied. One more thing. Any bold prediction that you're feeling for the college football season?
I got a few, man. I think Iowa State can win Big 12.
Okay.
I think I'm not sold that Alabama's going to repeat. Not sold that they're going to repeat.
They got a damn good
defense coming back. Maybe the most dominant defense they've had in a few years. And offensively, they always just reload there as well. But I think, once again, Texas A&M, LSU, and Georgia, and especially Georgia, because JT Daniels is a difference maker. This guy is the quarterback they've needed, and he's going to prove that. And he proved it last year in five games. I think Georgia is going to have a lot to say, and it helps that they got those transfers. The one kid from West Virginia, Tykee Smith, in the secondary safety, and especially Darian Kendrick, the transfer from Clemson. I mean, this guy was two-time, all-conference, and he leaves. He was always in that doghouse. Dabo Sweeney said it was the love shack or something like that. But, then that's the first game, his former school, and he and Justin Ross, and I'm happy to see that guy coming back in wide receiver. Those two going at it, and they say they're boys. But, you know, just watching that matchup in the first game of the year for those two, that's going to be fun. So we'll learn a lot about them. But those are my bold predictions, man. I think Iowa State can can win the Big 12. I really do. I have them right there with Oklahoma, yeah, and not so sure Bama repeats.
All right. I mean, there he is in that glorious pink t-shirt, looking good, looking lean.
Yours is more little fuchsia. I love that. This is one of my favorite colors.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, being out here in South Beach, everyone thinks, oh, you live in Florida. That's why. No, I've always loved bright colors, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And you look like you're doing the yoga still. And just
still got my yoga going, baby. I got to. Listen, someone asked me, will you ever stop working out? Well, am I going to ever stop eating? No. So I can't ever stop working out.
Oh, that is the truth, baby. That is the truth. Hey, BJ, you are the best. Always appreciate the conversation. For Brian Jones, CBS College Football Analyst, I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7. Thanks to everybody for tuning in to this latest episode of the Flagship Podcast. Until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.